What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what?
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And we're at episode 55. And we're about to do a little recap of the boys Metallica's year, 2019. What year is it?
What did they do in 2019?
I don't know. I got to look it up, though. It's probably on their website. We're recapping 2017 in the life of a Metallica.
It was a great year. And this is going to kind of start. One of the things we're going to do in 2018 with the podcast is we're going to go through every single year of the band's history.
Yeah.
We're going to do a whole episode of 1981, 82, 83. And we're going to do it chronologically, not in order necessarily. It'll be like maybe one of these a month.
Yeah.
But we wanted to start with, since we just finished 2017 and it was such a eventful year for the band, we're going to do 2017 now, and then we're going to start over with 1981 and go through every year of the band's history, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Very exciting. I'm excited. And speaking of exciting, this episode you're listening to right now is brought to you by, just kidding, no endorsements. It's our official like 1 year anniversary episode. This is 1 year ago today. We launched three little episodes that could.
The three little episodes that could.
And they did.
That's like the little tugboat story.
Little engine that could. Is that the tugboat or is it a train?
Oh, man. I don't know. Does the tugboat have an engine?
Sure.
Yeah.
There was Tugboat the Wrestler.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's the story. Yeah. You got it. Yeah.
So it's cool. We're gonna just basically talk through events. And some of you probably lived through them and went to some of these shows. And we're gonna talk about Copenhagen in February and all the press they did for the record going platinum, the Grammys. Yeah. We're just gonna sort of relive this year together.
Join us, won't you?
Before we do that, we're going to talk about our iTunes contest. What that is, if you leave us a positive review on iTunes, your name goes into a queue. We draw names every month, five names, and we give out prizes. So consider going and doing that. The last 2 months, we gave away the Master of Puppets Deluxe box set and the Ride the Lightning box set.
And some cool pint glasses, blankets to keep you warm this winter.
Metallica-themed swag.
Very Metallica themed, yes.
And the way we're able to like pay for that is through the Patreon. If you don't know what that is, that's a way for you to donate to the show. We now have 75 patrons.
Incredible.
That's wonderful.
I hope to have 76 by the end of the year.
I hope to have 76 by the end of the taping of this show.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we have two new patrons this week, Stephanie Zink and Johan Hansen. So thank you guys so much for being a new patrons of the show.
Thank you very much, guys.
We appreciate it.
Really appreciate that. Go follow us on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We actually are on YouTube.
We don't
have a lot of traction over there, but we do put all of our shit on YouTube.
I think the most traction we get over there is usually like a bunch of trolls just be like, fuck you guys.
We do get this is one guy that says fuck you all the time.
Yeah. I can't remember what it said exactly. I may have read it on a previous show, but he was, you know, insulting us like crazy, and he should have spelled out YOU'RE, and he didn't.
Right.
And my response to him was just the correct spelling of it.
Right.
And I think that pissed him off even more. So
it is sort of like, if you are going to insult somebody, you need to really make sure that your grammar is right.
At the very least.
It tends to take a bit of the sting out when you don't know how to speak.
Yeah, it takes... When you don't know proper grammatical English, the sting hurts a little less. I mean, I laugh at those things, so... But anyways, all that to say, we are on YouTube, so... If you're
go insult us over there.
Go make fun of us and call us fags and stuff. So
it does really quickly devolve into like faggot talk.
It's crazy how quickly that escalates, doesn't it?
Because it's just for people like that who are so hateful, it's just always right under the surface.
Yeah. It's loaded in the chamber, just ready to fire.
Racist and homophobic.
I don't get it.
Ignorant, super mean. It's just all right there.
All because they don't like something that we're working on and putting our energy into. All they have to do is hit play.
Right.
I don't like this. Fuck you. You fucking suck.
You're a faggot.
Yeah. Yes, we're homosexuals because we do a podcast.
That's right. I suck on dick sometimes. It's none of your fucking business. You can't insult me with that.
That's right.
All right. Speaking of emails, we read a smattering of emails every week. And let's. You want to get into the emails from this week?
Of course I do.
All right, here are the emails. All right, you want to start us off?
I would love to start us off. Our first email is from a longtime listener, multi-emailer, Jason Berry. Hey, Clint and Ethan, congratulations on a kick-ass year of the podcast. I love the best of part one episode. I laughed the whole time, especially when my sword up the ass email got a shout-out. Well, that was a good moment of 2017.
I wonder if he ever thought he would write that sentence.
Well, he's written it a couple times now, so he even gave us an explanation of what he meant. So can't wait for part two, and I'm glad to be on the ride where I can pound for pound totally grab a slice of pizza from the fridge at any time I want.
That's true. That phrase is actually 100% factual.
Yeah, and a great use of combining all those things, too. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Our next email is from Stephanie Zink, who is one of our new patrons and who won the Master of Puppets Deluxe box set.
She did, and her name was a redraw because the first person never claimed it, and she was ecstatic. She emailed us saying how excited she was at work and jumping up and down.
Yeah, Metallica dreams do come true. Stephanie writes, hey, guys, I'm thrilled to be able to help you guys via Patreon, and I love that I'm learning new things from your podcast. I want to expand my Metallica knowledge as much as possible, and you really helped me do just that. Metallica is probably one of the most interesting bands of our time in sound as well as production. I don't think I've ever seen another band that goes about writing and arranging like the mighty Metallica. I agree. She says, also, I'd love to be a part of your podcast about Orion, the Orion Festival, because I was blessed enough to go to both of them. Wow. And I have some really great stories. She says, and also not so great stories. I guess they missed the Dayhan set.
That's a bummer.
I think a lot of people did. It's kind of the point of it was this.
It was a surprise, like Dayhan playing at noon or whatever.
Yeah. She says, I also have some stellar photos of the car show, Kirk's Crypt, and the Metallica Museum. I would describe the Orion Festival as Metallica Disneyland. God, I wish they were still doing it so bad.
I would love to go to Metalliland.
Man. Just so you know, winning that box set, the Master Puppets box set, the aforementioned box set, has basically given me the green light to pick up the other two, much to my husband's dismay. More like I gave myself the green light, because now I will need the whole collection since I already have one. I'm almost completely caught up on past episodes on Saint Anger now, and I have since been up to date with current episodes, and I'm really glad to be on the ride. Hope to meet up with you guys soon and talk Metallica face-to-face later, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie. Enjoy that box set. I was at a local record store, Grimey's, the other day. And they had it there, and I like was checking it out, and I was
just holding it.
Just holding it against my chest, you know, ever so tenderly.
Holding it right up to my beating heart.
And I was just thinking, like, oh, I want this so bad, but I can't spend $180 right now.
I know, same.
So, but we're glad you got it, Stephanie, and hope you're enjoying it. Our next email is from Frederick Laws. Oh, Frederick Laws. And he's a distant cousin of second cousins with Laws.
He says he's from Sweden.
Sweden!
I love Sweden!
Frederick Lars says, hey, my name is Frederick, and I'm a longtime Metallica bread fan from Gothenburg, Sweden, New Jersey. My father's name is Lars, and that is also the second name of me and my son. That is how metal we are.
They're all named Lars over there.
There's so many Larses. Scandinavia and their Larses, man. You know the old joke.
Don't they
joke.
Have other names? I guess Frederick.
Sven.
Sven.
Yeah.
This is four.
Peter, but spelled like P-E-T-A-R.
Yeah, Peter.
Peter.
It's me, Peter. This is like Irish now.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Oh, Danny. Danny and Peter are friends.
Oh, Danny boy.
I'm from Ireland.
It's Peter and Bono.
Yeah, Bono. Whatever the girl from the Cranberries name is.
Dude, it's Dolores. Her name's Peter.
starting off 2018 strong, Clint.
There we go.
He goes on to say, I've listened to Metallica since I was 12. Not only are they a great band, they are a religion to me. I've also listened to your podcast since the beginning, and I just want to say that I love the show and listen every week, although I can't forgive you for not having Killing Time on any of your top 10 Metallica cover songs. Hey, listen, dude, it was close for me. He says, I think Killing Time is one of their best cover songs. Keep up the good work and keep the metal flame burning.
Keep the metal flame burning.
From Frederick Laws from Sweden.
Thank you, Frederick. Thank you, Frederick Peter.
My Torben is basically all of Scandinavia.
It covers that whole area.
And Germany, maybe some Austria, too.
Austria, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so good about it. It really covers a lot of ground.
I just want to please everyone in Europe and Scandinavia and stuff.
I'm sure they're really pleased by your approximation of all of their accents.
I think so, yeah. You know, whatever. Listen, I love Europe. I love Sweden. So everyone calm down.
Our next emailer is a very special one. We finally heard from our friend, longtime listener, Samim. Let's You know, I was starting to get worried about Samim.
I was too. I thought maybe
he got off the ride.
Maybe he got off the ride. You know, maybe he was in an unfortunate car accident and they had to remove his ears or something.
Just his ears, huh?
Just his ears, yeah. His head went side to side.
That'd be quite the accident.
It'd be quite the accident, but then he couldn't listen to our podcast.
Came out generally
anymore.
Unscathed except for his two ears.
Yeah,
his
two ears.
They had to go.
Yeah, everything inside of them, eardrum, yeah.
And we had to just fill up the holes with like cement.
Just concrete.
Just Turkish cement.
Turkish concrete, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Samim was the first person to ever write into our show a year ago.
Yeah, one year ago.
I guess a year ago today, he would have written in tonight.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful writer. We love Samim. He writes in, he says, I still look forward to the gift of a new episode every week, even for only an hour. It's a respite from the rest of it all. So really, thank you. I'm in awe of your dedication. If I tried podcasting, I probably would have bailed like 4 weeks in, though my episodes would also be 10 hours of pedantry and digressive ranting, so that'd be a blessing anyways.
Who wouldn't want to listen to Samim talk for 10 hours?
I mean, I'm looking for the Samim podcast every day.
I know.
Every day I type in Samim into the podcast search.
Yeah.
And every day nothing comes up.
Podcast called Sick Ass Samim.
He says, everything else aside, skimming through the names of episodes since I last wrote to you, what hurt the most was seeing the amount of opportunities I've missed for making lists. I like lists. I think everyone does. I believe we all like them because we intuitively sense the fact that every list is a small victory against death. A personal lexicon of meaning and order in a universe of indifference and chaos. Is this Friedrich Nietzsche writing
Gorgeous.
This?
Gorgeous. Jeez. That was beautiful, Samim.
I love Samim's dark poetry. He says, here's my list of favorite covers by Metallica. 10, Free Speech for the Dumb. That's the only list I think that had that tune.
Yeah.
9, Turn the Page. 8, Green Hell. Here's the key. To the fetches of death.
David.
Green Hell! Number 7, The More I See. Number 6, Small Hours. 5, The Prince. 4, Astronomy. 3, Blitzkrieg. 2, Merciful Fate. 1, The Wait. Love Samim.
Yeah, Astronomy got some more love from Samim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on your list. Cool.
Yeah, that was on my list.
Samim, always good to hear from you.
Always good to hear from you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Letters from Samim. All right, our last email?
Our last email comes from Dennis Muraviv.
This is the dude who won the Lightning Box set.
Yep, awesome. Well, Dennis, he says, hello, Clint and Ethan. I can't fucking believe that I won the grand prize. Ride the Lightning is my favorite album, and the deluxe box set is just unbelievable. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
He should have spelled it fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. He quit the fucking band.
The fucking band. He's from Boston now, or New York or something.
Boston, New Jersey, Russia.
Jason fucking Newsted quit the band.
What is he trying to do to me?
Jesus. He says, thank you so much. Listen to your podcast every Monday since the beginning and really, really love it. You do a kick-ass job. By the way, my birthday is on the 1st of January.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Happy birthday to you.
Mr. President.
Hope you enjoy the box set. Ride the Lightning, it's fucking awesome. But Master of Puppets might be better.
In a creeping death to you.
There you go, Dennis. That's your custom-made birthday jingle from Clint and Ethan of Metal Appear Podcast.
Unbelievable.
My birthday's on the 1st of January, almost the day. Not almost the day, dude. The day when Metal Appear Podcast started. But I was born a little bit earlier in 1982. I wish the podcast to grow fast in every part of the world, especially New Jersey. Oh, it is. And I will be glad to meet you guys the next time you're in Russia or on tour with Metallica. Pizza and Russian vodka, I guarantee.
Nice.
Dude, I've only been to Russia one time in my life.
Yeah.
I was in high school and my parents took us over like through a church to do like ministry stuff and go to hospitals and orphanages. And it was a pretty eye-opening experience.
Cool.
My thoughts on Moscow when I went, it was also November, so it was fucking cold.
I've heard it's very sunny, very warm there.
Yeah, it's very similar to like Santa Barbara, California mm-hmm. in November, December. No, all I could think about when I walked around was like, man, everyone looks really bummed out and looks like Gotham City.
Really?
It was just so overcast and freezing and everyone just looked bummed. Because
was Batman there putting it into crime? Or?
Yeah, he was over at the Kremlin. what is it, St. Basil's Church? Is that the one there, the one that's in the Tetris game?
Oh, no clue.
Yeah. We went and saw Stalin's grave, all that stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah. Big Stalin fan.
Big Stalin fan.
We celebrate his work here.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, thank you, and congrats again on the Red Lightning box set. I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, you'll be seeing that in the mail probably in the next like 9 to 10 months.
We're sending it via donkey.
It's gonna go donkey to Savannah, Georgia, and then it's gonna get on a on a like a sailboat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of that, you know, Tom Hanks tried to build in Castaway.
Right.
And then
and with Wilson, his trusty volleyball.
Yeah, with Wilson. And then it's gonna hit Ireland at some point. And then
Pater's gonna pick it up.
Yeah, Pater's gonna pick it up.
He's gonna pick up the package.
He's gonna walk it all the way to London.
Yeah, and then probably getting fatally wounded along the way.
He will. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of tension in Ireland, you know, religiously. So yeah, he's gonna have to endure
Protestant,
some
Catholic,
of this.
North and South.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's tough landscape.
But Dennis, you'll get it eventually.
So eventually, you'll get it.
Let us know when you get it. It'll probably be around the time they do the 50th anniversary box set. So
he did write to us, and he said, "P.S. Please make sure you pack it well because Russian mail is so shitty." I'm like, wow. Okay.
So we went ahead and just wrapped it in a couple pieces of paper.
I threw a few little foam peanuts in there. It should be fine.
Tissue paper should do the trick, yeah. Should paper. Be gone. Should be fine.
Well, it's as simple as that, how you communicate with us. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the emails.
All right, dude.
Let's burn down 2017.
Let's burn it down now that we're in 2018.
The tour, which we're going to be talking about as we're going to basically do this, structure it by month, but
yeah, the tour was, I mean, that was, as you all know, that was the granddaddy of the year. It was the big thing they did.
It was,
you know,
the top five. It was the fifth highest grossing tour of the year.
Yep. Here's some crazy facts about the worldwide tour.
Wired. World Wired Tour.
Oh, I accidentally typed worldwide in my notes.
It was worldwide.
It was worldwide.
I mean, technically it was a worldwide
tour. I meant
tour.
Literally it was worldwide. The World Wired Tour. here's what's crazy. The total gross of this tour is $152.8 million, an average gross per show of $3.9 million.
Wow.
Which I think that's what we're going to make at our Metal Up Your Podcast party.
Yeah, it'll be close. We'll probably be the sixth highest grossing party.
On Thursday night.
On Thursday.
On Gallatin Road. Between
at the Cobra.
These two blocks. Speaking of, if I can interrupt our regularly scheduled program for a second, if you haven't heard and you live around Tennessee, on January 4th, we're having our first annual Metal Up Your Podcast anniversary party. We're going to be giving away some cool stuff, having some Name That Riff contests, so
yeah,
come
we're
on
doing trivia. A lot of people are traveling for it.
Yeah, it's
be
free.
Fun.
Totally free. All you have to do is get yourself there.
Get yourself there.
Get yourself there, man. So yeah, number five highest grossing tour of 2017. I'd like to mention who was number one through four. Number four was Bruno Mars.
He's good.
He's very talented. I just don't
know. I'm not going to buy his records or go to his show,
no.
But he's great.
He is really good. Very talented.
My parents love him. We'll put it that way.
Number three, Coldplay.
I'm a big Coldplay fan. I don't know what they're doing these days.
I like some of the early stuff.
Those first two or three records are fucking awesome.
Parachutes.
Parachutes
Rush
is amazing.
Blood to the Head.
And X and Y.
X and Y. That's the fourth record, I think.
No, it's the third one. Fourth one was Viva La Vida.
Viva Valida, look.
Yeah, exactly. It
no,
was their crossover
the
hit.
The first Coldplay record was that Parachutes?
The Parachutes.
Okay, and the second record was Rush Blood of the Head.
Correct. Third one was X and Y.
It was X and Y?
Yeah, I bet you $1 million. I bet you $1 million Metallica dollars.
I only have like four Metallica dollars right now. Number two, I thought this was going to be number one. Number two was Guns N' Roses' Not In This Lifetime tour.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
They've been crushing it.
The fact that Metallica and Guns N' Roses in 2017 are in the top five.
Crazy, right?
It's insane. It's
like 93 all over again.
Early 90s again. And number one, not really a surprise guest, U2 doing the Joshua Tree tour.
Yeah.
I love U2. I like a lot of early U2. I think after All You Can't Leave Behind, I was kind of like, eh.
I got off the ride one record after that. After How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb.
I didn't care for that one. And I didn't like the two records before. I didn't like Pop or Zooropa.
Oh, Pop's my favorite.
Well, get out of my house.
And those weren't... I'm going to finger you a little more on this. Those weren't the two records before. The two records before were All That You Can't Leave Behind and then Pop.
No, I'm sorry. I meant two before All You Can't Leave Behind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
But Octoon Baby, Joshua Tree, Boy, October. I mean, there's so many
good
records.
I would say
records. Everything
they did up until Atomic Bomb was pretty stellar.
Yeah. U2 is one of those bands, and Coldplay is now experiencing this. I mean, they're one of those bands that just now they just get hate for no reason.
Yeah.
You make like a bad record or two, and people just dog you to death. Like Metallica obviously experienced some of that with Saint Anger, but they've proven themselves to be kick ass songwriters still and put out great products.
Right.
And so people kind of are like, eh, we still hate that record, but you know what? They're still a kick ass band.
It's true. Like it somehow became fashionable. I guess it was just a saturation thing, but it got really, really cool. To hate on Coldplay.
Oh, yeah. I've got friends that, like, get angry about it.
Yeah. Which, if you get angry about any music, you need to just rethink.
Well, guess what? You don't have to listen to it.
And it's okay that other people like things. It's actually a really positive thing in the world.
It's a little thing we like to call diversity.
Like, there are people that love shit that I can't imagine loving, but I love that they love it.
Like, somebody probably in this world loves, like, Savage Garden. And guess what? I don't.
I knew I loved you before.
Oh, I think I found that person.
I met you. Dude, I won't. They had two songs that I did like. Lovely, Madly, Deeply.
Ooh.
And I Wanna Stand With You on a Mountain.
Yeah, I remember that song, yeah. Never cared. Savage Garden. Savage.
Well, you know, they got that from an Anne Rice novel, her Vampire Chronicles.
Okay.
But it is a pretty brutal band name for a... Yeah. I Wanna Stand...
Yeah, exactly.
I Wanna Stand With You on a Mountain.
Ladies and gentlemen, good night, Dark Continent. We're Savage Garden.
I Wanna Stand...
Oh, incredible.
That shit was savage.
So in total, including concerts, Grammys, club dates, all this stuff, there was 61 performances they did, but there were 49 official concerts. And of those, in that 49 concerts, that's where that number, 152.8 million, comes from.
Which that sounds about right. And, you know, James was saying they wanted to basically, for him to be healthy, which his health is probably the most important part of that machine.
Sure, yeah.
He said about 50 shows is what they're aiming for every year.
Yeah. Well, they almost hit 50.
They got one more to play at HQ.
They technically did more, but they had a couple TV appearances, the Grammy and stuff like that.
Right.
So, but yeah, just crazy what that tour did. I mean, the excitement for Metallica starting that tour was insane. I mean, when we started this podcast, they had already announced some dates, and it was just like, oh shit, here we go.
Right,
ball's about to start rolling.
It's really hard to believe it's been a year.
I know.
As I kind of think about it, I was kind of going through their whole year today, and like, oh, I remember that. I remember when we talked about that. I remember when they did this, and it doesn't seem like a year.
No, not at all.
And, they're going to roll on the Worldwide Tour all through 2018, too. So, I mean, they've got dates through May, I believe.
And I got a friend that just got hired by Metallica.
Sounds like we're going to go live in Europe.
Yep, we're going to be in Europe all year, as long as they're going to be there.
So let's just sort of talk through, we're going to take it month by month and sort of camp out in relevant areas. Obviously, Hardwired dropped on the 18th of 2016, November 2016. So they're starting to do press and shit. So some of the first cool things we got in January was on January 4th, we got the James and Kirk interview on The Nerdist.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick's podcast.
Which was a great interview.
Yeah, it was awesome. They did. I thought that was cool when they were doing promo in early 2017 was they hit the podcast circuit a bit. They did Mark Maron's podcast, they did Joe Rogan's.
Yeah. Well, they did Joe Rogan I think at the end of 2016.
Oh, that was, you're right.
But yeah, Mark Maron's, that dropped on the 9th. They did the Song Exploder podcast, which you guys really need to check that out.
It's really cool.
It's where it's really brief. Like every episode's, I think, like 20 minutes. And they'll take an artist like Metallica. In this case, it was James and Lars. And they just break down how they wrote a song.
Yeah, they do Moth in the Flame.
And they did Moth in the Flame. And they were talking about shit I never knew. Like that song was sort of modeled after Disposable Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Where every section, as they were building it, they were looking at what worked with Disposable Heroes to try to emulate it. And so, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. January 11th through the 22nd, they did the 5 shows in Asia, with the 18th being the one where Lang Lang joined them in Beijing.
Good old Lang Lang.
Good old Lang Lang, man.
I almost forgot about him.
No, you didn't, did it?
You're right. Also, what was cool in Asia was where we got the live premiere of Now That We're Dead and Halo on Fire in Seoul, Korea.
Very cool.
Yeah. I remember being really excited when all these big shows were starting because, you and I are like, when are they going to debut this? Debut that? They had already debuted a few songs in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But
they had done Moth and Hardwired.
Yeah. And I think Atlas Rise, too.
Okay, yeah. That sounds right.
But it was so cool to wake up one morning and checking your news feed on Twitter or whatever, and it's like Metallica premieres whatever. You're like, holy shit!
It's always I mean, we haven't really had this in 8 years, like something to look forward to in that way of, oh, these new songs that we love. Oh, they're debuting on
when was the last time you got excited about Coldplay? Premiering a new song.
Dude, I was on the road a few months ago, and one of the dudes I was touring with is still a big Coldplay fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I have not paid attention to them in a long time because it's just, to me, it sounds like a Chris Martin solo pop project now.
It kind
of like
is,
Johnny Buckland, who is one of the premier guitar, his guitar work on Parachutes was hugely influential to how I play.
Right, yeah.
Very simple, tasteful, ambient stuff. And just as their records went on, there's just less and less guitar. Mm-hmm. It's just all synthesizers and EDM drum beats. Yeah. So this dude was like, man, we were on a bus just with nothing to do. And he played me the entire new Coldplay record front to back.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Really?
It's just Chris Martin
is
doing...
I heard a single on the radio. Is it one that, like, there's a song that almost sounds like a disco song?
It's like that, yeah.
Okay.
It's just very, very pop.
I'm all right. Yeah.
I don't know how we started talking about... when was the last time Coldplay?
That would be my fault, yeah. I didn't expect to go into that, but that's
okay. I do remember seeing them debut the song Lost, which was a single on, like, Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
You'll get lost, every river that I try to cross. Fucking awesome song. That was from Viva La Vida, their fourth record. So it was that long ago. I love the Coldplay Ricky Martin crossover.
Oh, it's so good.
They also on the 11th in Asia debuted Confusion.
Yeah, that's right. No, that was on the 18th.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 18th.
Yeah, 18th in Beijing, China. Yeah, Confusion.
Which that was the same show that they played with Ling Ling.
Yep.
All right, so we roll into February, which that was a promising start. Like, I remember, like, any time, like, they uploaded, you know, some of the Met Club videos or fan shit would come online. We had just started the podcast. Anything that I could get new, especially Hardwired related, I was just soaking up. So we roll into February. February 3rd through 9th were the four Copenhagen shows at the Royal Arena. Famously, the show on the 5th had to be canceled.
Yeah.
The show on the 3rd is when he finishes the show, but he's pretty sick.
The video came out on YouTube or whatever, and he addressed the crowd like, I'm not feeling great, my throat hurts, help me sing, but he powered through it.
Well, it's weird because he asked them. He's like, hey, we can either go home and come back to make the show up, or we can just stay and get through it. And everyone's like, ah! Like, people are going to shout at that.
Everyone went,
exactly. And he's like, all right, we'll stay. I'm like, you guys totally missed out on the opportunity, because when we get to September is when they did that makeup show.
Yeah.
And that's when they got to see the Moth and the Flame drones, those 52 cubes.
And I'm sure it was like probably, what, midway through the show when he was making that announcement?
So it was pretty early on, like 3 or 4 tunes in.
Okay. Maybe the whole crowd should have went, play like 5 more songs and then we'll go home and then come back.
Why don't we do both? That's probably what they all shouted.
Is that an option?
Can we do both, please?
Yeah. It was more like this. Please do both of these songs. Do both these shows, please.
It was just 25,000 of Lars's dad.
Yeah, 25,000 Torbens. Please come back. Please,
they're all bouncing tennis balls like in their seat.
Yeah. They're all hovering on carpets.
We choose option C, boss.
Not a lot of people know this, but those drones were actually little Torbens flying around the stage.
Like a Torben into flame. Let's see. So, okay, February 12th was the ill-fated Grammy performance.
Yes, which we've covered on a Revisited.
Huge bummer.
Yeah.
Not only did he have a snafu with his mic, but they didn't even really introduce them. They introduced Lady Gaga.
Yeah, the girl from Orange is the New Black was like, please welcome Lady Gaga.
100-time Grammy Award winner, Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Metallica fans like went nuts on her.
Yeah,
like,
I was one of them.
Yeah, like, I mean, talking like, oh, on, I didn't go on nuts, social media and
you
stuff.
You mean Laverne
like,
Cox? Was it Laverne Cox?
I think so, yeah. And she ended up putting on a thing like, I am so sorry. Like, I've just, it slipped my mind.
Please keep these metalheads away from me.
She's probably like, I'm not really sure Metallica is. Oh, but Lady Gaga's on the thing I'm supposed to read.
What was cool is after the Grammys, they went straight to the Hollywood Palladium and played a show for Grammy Week. And then they broadcast, I think they, did they broadcast that? I can't remember. I've seen it since then.
I have seen it.
I remember being on the forums, the Metallica forums that night with a bunch of other Metallica nerds. And like as the set list was coming in and talking about the Grammys that day and all that stuff. That was a really exciting time. Again, hard to believe that was a year ago.
I know. And if you are listening,
I was still in my old house then.
I was still in my current house. Yeah. And if you're listening to us and you're new to, you know, this podcast, go back. I think that was our first Revisited, actually.
Yeah, we talked about the
Grammys.
Talked about
that. We talked about the World Wired Tour coming up. And so if you haven't listened to that Revisited, please go back and check it out.
On the 13th of February, they announced formation of the All Within My Hands Foundation, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It, quote unquote, aims to assist and enrich the lives of members of the communities who have supported the band for years, as well as encourage participation from fans and friends. All funds raised will be donated to a cross-section of national and local charities.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And like, as that foundation has unfolded, they've sent in like pictures of James going to the Vail Police and Fire Department, Rob going to the LA County Fire Department.
Yeah, handing out the Starbucks gift cards and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I didn't know that. So I went to the All Within My Hands Foundation website, which I believe is allwithinmyhands.org.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Metallica donates to food banks in every city they play.
That's awesome.
And have been for years.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow.
Another thing that they've done that I didn't know is like they've done several Make-A-Wish Foundation, but they keep it low key. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing to think about like people like Metallica and other celebrities or famous people, rich people. All the work they do behind the scenes, don't take credit for, really.
Yeah.
Don't make a big fuss over.
Which, I mean, isn't that the point?
It is the point.
But unfortunately, there's people out there that have, like, star power that will go do these things and bring a camera crew with them.
For publicity.
Exactly.
Right. Which is kind of gross.
It's a little gross. I mean, yes, at the end of the day, that kid they're visiting, whatever, is still stoked.
Sure.
And made their day, but it's like...
But it seems exploitative to use it.
Don't use the situation to your advantage. It's not about you in this situation, you know?
Another band that you and I both really love is Pearl Jam, and... every member of Pearl Jam has like a big charity that they sort of espouse. And
I like Jeff Ametz.
What's his?
Yeah, he builds skate parks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is he a big skater?
Yeah, he's a skater. Yeah, so he builds skate parks in like, you know, where they can't afford to or, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's just, I mean, you know, it's obviously inspiring to hear that your heroes are good human beings too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that really is the fucking point.
Yeah.
Because I do think that on one hand, someone like Kirk or James could say, well, you know what, what we've really done for the world is through the magic of our music has changed lives, which I think would be totally true.
What we've done for the world is Metallica.
We made Metallica and donated our lives to making records and being on tour. But it's cool to see that they take their fame and success and just parlay that into humanity.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, like when you get that kind of success and money and whatever, you hope that people use it for good and do things. I mean, and it's your choice. If you don't decide to donate to a charity or be involved in things like that, it doesn't necessarily make you an asshole. But when people go out of their way, like James Hetfield doesn't need to leave Vail, Colorado and do, you know, go visit firefighters, you know, but he does, you know, and you didn't bring a camera crew with him. There's a guy taking photos to put on Metallica.com and that's about it, you know?
Well, it's the one photo of him smiling with him. It doesn't show the hours he sat with them hearing their stories and, Take like investing the time in the people.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just another reason to love this band. so we move on into March. March started with three shows in Mexico City, which, you know, they have a great relationship with Mexico City.
Yeah.
Throughout the years. They debuted Dream No More.
Yep.
In Mexico City. Do you have anything in March? Oh, you have that.
Yeah. Dream No More.
The March 5th show.
That's where they also played with had Iggy Pop open.
And they did that TVI song, right?
Yeah, they came out and did a cover together.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
On the 3rd was the official website releases the dress rehearsal of the Grammys with Lady Gaga, because I think they said something in the blog like, maybe some of you imagine what it might have been like without any problems.
And guess what? It was kick-ass.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was so good. I mean, obviously it sucks that, you know, that was broadcast to the world, but when you got to see what it should have sounded like, it was like, damn, there you go.
Well, and again, we've talked about it several times now, but I think the actual broadcast where there was the snafu, we got that great iconic image of him singing head to head with Gaga.
Yeah.
Which, however you feel about Gaga, she's a badass.
Yeah.
Highly respected in the music world. But, and you also got to see Metallica sort of triumph in the face of technical adversity.
Yeah. And we got to see James toss his Explorer to his tech.
Loved it.
Oh, it was awesome.
Snakebite.
I remember watching it, and right when it happened, I was like, oh, he's pissed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Lars on one of the podcasts was saying, like, I haven't seen him that mad.
No, it was him on one of the late shows. Like, he was him on, like, a Tonight Show or something. Yeah. Saying he hadn't seen him that mad in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to encounter Matt Hetfield.
He talked about it on the website with that Stefan cat. He talked about, you know, he said, I haven't been that mad in a long time. He said, I still get mad about things that are out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm still dealing with it, but it happens.
Yeah.
You know? They also did the Lollapalooza shows on the 25th, Lollapalooza Brazil. On the 31st, Lollapalooza Argentina. And then on April 1st, Lollapalooza in Chile. And then April was generally kind of a mellow month for the band.
Yeah, I mean, they had done a lot at the beginning of the year for the first, you know, 2-3 months. So time to go wind down a little bit.
A lot of shit happened in May, though. May 5th, they released the Live at Webster Hall, which was the fifth member only show in New York that several of our listeners went to. Gene Frohman was there. Yep. Sarah Sobeck was there. Sarah Sobeck actually has a really special story about it, I believe, right?
I think so.
She went with her husband, Pete, and she got to do the fifth member. Pater?
Pater.
She got to do she got to write about her experience.
Yeah.
She got to hang with the band and stuff. Anyway.
Very cool.
And I have that show on vinyl. And I bought it at a pop-up store in St. Louis, and it sounds fucking awesome.
Right.
Greg Fiddleman, our homie, mixed it and mastered it. On the 7th, Lars started his It's Electric show on Beats One, yep. which I still have not heard.
I haven't heard because I don't have Apple Music.
Yeah.
The only ones I've heard that are the ones that they've uploaded to YouTube. Like there's a Dave Grohl one.
Right. But those are just, those aren't the full things, are they?
There's a couple full episodes on YouTube.
Okay.
Les Claypool one is on there, which is really interesting because cool. he's known them forever.
Right. At least since 2014.
At least, maybe 2015. yeah. Fall. No, I believe there's 4 or 5 of them on YouTube you can listen to in full.
Well, I know he airs them a lot. Like he just did a whole week of airing all the band interviews and the puppets. But dude, my life's too crazy to like get near a computer like for 1 hour. Like, you know what I mean? I just can't orient my life.
I was in my car scrolling through radio stations and I couldn't find it. It's so weird.
They're just scrolling for Beats One.
Yeah.
WBBB Beats One.
W Laws.
W deletes that. What else happened? Oh, they did I actually rewatched this today. So right before the show, their first show in Baltimore, I believe it was the Baltimore show, they did the Now That We're Live rehearsal.
Yeah.
Where they basically just did like a dress rehearsal at the stadium and invited fans.
Yeah.
They streamed it on Facebook. It was enough fans to basically fill the snake pit. 100 people.
Yeah.
And it's just them wearing like street clothes, playing through songs. They kind of tease Spit Out the Bone. It's like real casual. It's really weird to see them in an empty stadium being casual.
Yeah. Well, they're probably also slightly uncomfortable because they're debuting this new setup, new songs, and there's actual fans watching them. It's not just their crew hanging out.
Right.
You know, so they're kind of, you know, making jokes or whatever. And right. I'd imagine they were a little uncomfortable. Like, oh man, we haven't even played a show yet with the stadium set up, and now these people get to see this.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that was a good deal where like management was like, hey, you should probably do this. And they're like, okay,
like, all right,
we'd rather not do that. Yeah. But
it's better than when, during St. Anger, when they're like trying to give money away on that radio station.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Lars and I'm here to kick your ass with $40,000.
I'm about to shove 50 grand up your ass. $1 at a time. On the 10th is when they announced, did you ever get this? On the 10th, they announced their Metallica app for their phone to keep up with the tour.
I did download it.
I got it. It's not great.
It wasn't great. I mean, it was just, essentially, it's like a shortcut to their website. You know, you get to see the tour dates and stuff like that, but.
What else happened? The first date of the tour, which was in Baltimore, was on the 10th. What else am I missing?
On May 15th is when they did Now That We're Dead on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, they did like a truncated version of it.
Yeah, it was a little shorter.
They sort of edited it.
But it was cool. It sounded great.
Yeah. It's a great song. One of my favorite songs off the record. They also did on the 15th, the band wasn't there, but they did the 4th annual Acoustic for a Cure show.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of these?
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome.
They're great, yeah. Well, we talked about the Billy Joe and Hetfield.
Right. Moment. Piles of Pie.
Yeah. Piles of Pie.
I want these piles of pie. it's a benefit curated by James and Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
He couldn't be there, obviously, because they were on tour, but Dave Grohl sat in for him. But that was a notable event in the Metallica world.
Oh, yeah.
Acoustic for a Cure is fucking awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, just Google that.
Yeah.
And James does a bunch of cool covers. And
he did one year, him and his daughter did an Adele song together. Like, yeah, it's a very intimate, like, personal feeling kind of show.
I think a few years ago, too, he did, Until It Sleeps acoustic.
Yeah.
Like, some really cool stuff.
Yeah, and Clint and I will be hosting that next year, I heard.
we that would be nice. Play songs from Load and Reload.
Someone just went, oh, wait, for real? They're hosting.
Wait, are they doing that?
No way. Are they serious or not?
The answer is yes, we are doing that.
And the answer is probably not. But most likely.
Well, we can dream, can't we? On the 17th of May, Hardwire goes platinum.
And no big deal.
What was funny about that is like, so Blackened Recordings is their label.
Yeah.
So they actually staged this really funny picture of it's them all wearing suits and ties awarding themselves
yeah.
in street clothes the platinum records.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I'm surprised they didn't get Turner Duckworth to do it. Good day, chaps. Here is your million selling album.
For sales of up to $1 million.
$1 million.
And I believe I did the artwork. I'm Turner Duckworth. After all, a notable show during that run is they did one of the only few like indoor arena shows during the stadium tour where they played in Uniondale at the new Coliseum. And they did Ride the Lightning and they did Harvester of Sorrow, which are kind of rare tunes
for the
North American tour. In June, we get on the 4th the St. Louis show in which I went to the goddamn snake pit with our friend Brad Blazik.
We've got a whole episode just on Clint's experience in St. Louis.
From the tour bus to the snake pit.
Hmm. That's the story of Clint Wells and Brad Blazek.
One tale.
And their journey through St. Louis, back to
one tale.
Tennessee.
Two men.
One man.
In a world.
Will he go far enough?
This time it's personal.
Double-crossed by the government.
On the 9th, they actually added a benefit show. They played at the Iowa Speedway to benefit the Native Fund. I thought that was nice at the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of your standard worldwide show without the snake pit. In July, for basically that entire month, they toured in Florida, Georgia, Detroit, which we went to.
That's the one we were at, yeah.
In Canada. On the 12th is when we made our Mail Up Your Podcast road trip with our friend Paul Mo.
I know. That seemed like, it doesn't seem like we've been doing this podcast for a year, but that Detroit trip seems like forever ago.
It does.
If that makes sense. Like, it's just, I remember just like, all right, here we're just going to do this. We're going to drive all the way to fucking Detroit. We were trying so hard to go to the Atlanta show, but it worked out where I was
touring
out of the country. You were somewhere else, yeah. But because trust me, a 4-hour drive would have been much better.
Well, for those of you who don't know, we took a road trip to the Detroit show, and there's a whole episode about it. We actually made 3 episodes out of that.
Yeah.
We did an Ask Us Anything. We did an episode in HQ3, which is Ethan's car.
Yep.
And then we did a live episode in Detroit from a really cool bar across from the venue.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
I know. We keep forgetting. The Sports Palace or something. Or
The Sports Zone.
Sports
Thing.
Yeah.
The End Zone.
Run by Todd.
I can't remember the guy's name who helped us.
I know.
Us.
He was so nice,
God
too.
Damn
he let
it.
Us park in the alley behind the place all night and have to pay. And
anyway, it was a fun trip. If you want to hear, we did those episodes. Go check them out. We did try to drive all the way home that night, and we made it like an hour before we got
made
to the
hotel. Hour. And then we got Taco Bell, and then we made another 15 minutes, and we're like, we're tired.
Once that Taco Bell sunk in.
Once it absorbed into our bowels.
On their show in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl on July 29th, they did a tribute to Van Halen. They played Running with the Devil.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Because Pasadena is where Van Halen's from.
Yeah, yeah.
And James was doing all those David Lee Roth.
I know. It's pretty funny.
By the way, everyone do yourselves a favor. Look up Van Halen Jump. John Lennon Imagine.
Oh, the mashup?
Have you seen this?
Yeah, it's great.
Someone basically, I guess they modulated the recordings to make them in the same key.
Yeah.
So it's David Lee Roth singing Jump over the music of John Lennon's Imagine.
There's a lot of good ones out there that have Metallica songs in there.
It's amazing.
There's one that I think it's, I want to say it's Enter Sandman or Puppets with like a, fuck, I'm going to get this wrong. I know, I'm going to get shit for it, but it's like Billy Preston or some kind of more funk song or something.
Okay.
I'll look it up and text it to you. All it's right, really cool. Good.
August, we get the, man, again, this does not seem like that long ago. August 4th, we got the mini documentary about Rob's son, Ty, going on tour with Korn.
Yeah, in South America.
And I had no idea, I learned in that documentary, I didn't know how tied in Rob was with Korn.
How tied in?
Well, pun totally intended,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, that's a Trujillo pun right there, man.
But he had a lot to do with them sort of coming up. Like, he was a part of that band, like kind of mentored Korn.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not a big Korn fan, but I'm actually not a fan at all.
I like it on the cob, grilled. That's about it.
Not on the turntable?
I think that Got the Life song is cool.
Love Got the Life.
Yeah.
I actually love that
Got
song.
Got the Life. It's pretty good,
Jonathan
Davis.
Part of me. I'm wearing a kilt.
And some weird microphone looks like the movie Alien.
He does that like weird bridge part.
It's like metal scatting or something. It's really not good. It's like if you took the Kid Rock song Ba Wit Da Ba and slowed it down.
No, I love Ba Wit Da Ba.
You would.
My name is Kid. It's Kid Baby. It's Kid Rock.
Just in case you didn't know. And I live in literally a double wide trailer in Nashville.
Dude, go look up Kid Rock at Woodstock. That's a mesmerizing performance. He walks out with a fucking pimp fur coat with a cane and a top hat, and some dude comes and collects it. And they're just looping that Ba Wit Da Ba intro.
Yeah. I will say, I did years and years ago when I first moved to Nashville, I had a friend that worked for MTV. And they were filming a pilot for this new show called Bumped Up. It never became a show.
Mm-hmm.
Where they basically find the biggest fan of this artist and they take him from the grass seats and put him in the front row. So I was on this crew of guys with cameras basically going to this girl's house. And we went to this girl's house who had a ton of like Confederate shit everywhere.
Oh my God.
And we had to like politely say, hey, can you take that down? Anyways, it was for a Kid Rock show.
She had like an upside down burning cross.
Yeah,
like,
it was on fire.
Would you mind?
Like, that one's actually fine. Let's just take the racist shit down. when we got to it was at the old Starwood Amphitheater in Nashville. It's
oh,
no
cool.
longer here.
Yeah.
And I was basically during the show down in the pit during soundcheck and the show with
Were you getting in the pit and trying to love someone?
Oh, yeah.
get in the pit and try to love someone.
I was by myself. There was only a security guard near me.
Yeah.
Well, that could come off weird.
Get in the pit and touch yourself.
I was just down there loving myself. But I remember thinking to myself, okay, I don't love Kid Rock, but fuck, he's good live.
The Devil Without a Cause record is pretty good.
Yeah.
It really is just pretty good.
I wish he would have kind of went with that like Southern rock thing. And like, it seems like lately, every time he opens his mouth, you're like, oh God.
Stop well, now talking. He's like in politics.
I don't think he's actually running.
Good God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of that show called Bumped Up That Never Happened, there was a show that happened called Fanatic. That was a show.
Kind of thing.
It was a show about super fans.
Yeah, maybe that was the precursor to it or something.
Super fans go meet whatever.
I mean, this was in 2001 or two.
Yeah,
it was a while ago.
Okay,
it's like 100 years ago.
Jesus, it's Becky here.
Guys, you didn't think I was going to get left out of 2018, did you?
Excuse me, I can't even remember yesterday, let alone 2001.
Yeah, seriously, I don't think I was even born yet.
Where are we at? I don't know where we are. Oh, the documentary about his son, Ty.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we got that out of the way. On the 7th, they did the 5th annual Metallica Night with the San Francisco Giants. Kirk and James played the national anthem.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm a Dodgers fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Wait, those are different sports.
No, Dodgers and Giants? That's baseball.
Oh, I thought the Giants were a football team.
There is a Giants football team, too.
Okay.
That's New York, I believe.
Okay, good God.
I don't even like football, but I know that.
Good God.
The Giants and Dodgers have always kind of had this.
Where
like,
are the
rivalry.
Giants? Like
I like the Dodgers,
but we're the Giants in California.
But we're also in California.
But we're the Giants in New York.
But we're the Dodgers originally from New York.
We're gianter. We're more giant.
We're the giantest.
Can you guys come up with different names?
You think that we would have come up with different voices before the start of the new year? But guess what? Not happening.
Hello, Torben.
How was your New Year's Eve, David?
Well, needless to say, I was sweating bullets.
Just because it's very crowded at places on New Year's Eve?
Well, my hands were sweaty and my knees were itchy. Anyway, tell it to the reader. Nice story. Tell it to the Reader's Digest.
Oh my God. The way he say digest.
Tell it to the Reader's Digest. What a lyric.
I bet most people listen to this don't know what the Reader's Digest is.
What was it? It was like a condensed. You could buy it like in the checkout line of the grocery store.
Yeah.
It was like a little pocket book.
I don't care. I don't. Why are we talking about the Reader's Digest?
You asked. You brought it up.
It's true. I did.
Okay.
I prefer TV Guide.
And on the 12th of August, they headlined the Outside Lands Festival. I've played that festival a few times. Yeah. That's a fucking bitchin' festival. You worked the Outside Lands Festival?
I don't think so. Where's it at?
San Francisco.
It's outside.
Where the Giants are. We're giant.
Which giant?
I can walk through Golden Gate Park in two strides. I am a giant after all.
That's how big I am.
On the 15th, they did the carpool karaoke with Billy Eichner.
Yeah, he was filling in for James Corden.
I never liked that shit, so I didn't even watch it. I had an opportunity to watch it today. I had plenty of time.
Yeah.
I had it right there in front of me. I don't think that shit's funny.
There's a couple funny moments where they go into a grocery store and they have like a ghetto blaster and they're playing Enter Sandman and singing it like through the store.
The band is?
Yes, all four of them. And everyone's kind of like confused. And then you see people start to recognize them like, holy shit, Metallica's singing.
Is James into it?
They all look like they could be a little uncomfortable, but they're just going with it, just being goofy.
Okay.
It's not terrible. Like I don't love that. There's a Chili Peppers one that's actually really, really funny.
Well, those dudes are fucking hilarious.
They're hilarious. Well, and plus they get James Corden to take his shirt off.
And he's kind of a heavier guy.
Yeah, he's got like man boobs and stuff.
Well, that's the only way to make it funny is to kind of turn it on its head, make him do something stupid.
So in the one with Metallica was on, they had this dude filling in as the host, and then James was the one driving. So it wasn't as good.
I can see James being like, I'm going to be the one driving if we do it.
He'd be like, I'm just going to drive us back to Colorado.
They're like, we're supposed to go to like this LA grocery store. He's like, no, we're going to Vail.
No, we're going hunting.
It's going to be a 10-hour car drive. It just seemed to me like them trying, like that's the only thing I saw this year with them doing all the press.
Yeah.
It seemed like the only thing to me of them trying to be relevant with like younger people.
Well, and they actually filmed that back in February during Grammy week.
Okay, right.
Is when they actually did it. And it didn't air until August. So
okay.
I wonder by the time it came out, they were like, ah, shit, why we did that? I mean, it did give them press. If that's what they were going for, like, they got it.
Well, who watches that? You know, it's like younger people, like people in their 20s and kids and shit watch.
Yeah, I mean,
fucking Carpool Karaoke.
The only time I see it is when there's a really funny one and someone posted it like on Twitter or Facebook or something.
Well, just let it be known that Clint's official stance on Carpool Karaoke is that it's jive, some jive bullshit for kids.
So I guess that rules out my idea for a new segment on the show is Metal Up Your Podcast, Carpool Karaoke.
I want to stand with... Is it just me singing Savage Garden
songs? It's only Savage Garden songs.
On the 16th, I remember watching this in bed in my new house. They did the live broadcast of the Edmonton show via YouTube. And it was a fun show. The rotating slots where the memory remains hit the lights and blackened.
Yeah.
Having already seen the Hardwired or the Worldwired tour twice, it's repeat viewings of that tour weren't super exciting because other than the rotating slots, saw it twice.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same show.
It was basically the same show, which I support them and get why they were doing
that. Yeah, I mean, if we had the opportunity to go to like four or five more of those shows and see that same show, I would have been stoked out of my mind.
Right.
But watching it at home, like streaming it, it's kind of like, it's still cool though. I mean, I still watch that stuff.
What was the show we watched here after we did an episode?
That
was the Band Together.
That was recent. That was the last thing they did. The show they did of the year, I think.
Okay, we're gonna get to that, I guess.
They got two guitar picks from that show.
Oh, we're the Giants. A big giant gave it to me. It looked really small in his hand. It was like a mote of dust in his hand. A giant named James Hetfield gave it to me. But he just turned his hand over, and I held my hand down, and there was a pick. Two of them.
Really been developing that voice over the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, I'm this many. It's like the kid who's like,
yeah. I'm this many kid. That's his name. I'm this many kid.
Dad, I'm going to stay up till 11:30, Dad. And you can't tell me not to.
I don't care what you say. Because I'm this many.
I'm going to drink 2.5 Coca-Cola, Dad.
All right.
And not brush my teeth.
September 1st, they released the live at the House of Vans, which was from the November 18th from 2016 show that they played on the release day of Hardwired. Very similar to the Webster Hall show. Almost the exact same set list.
Cool, though. They were in like a skate park, essentially.
Yeah.
The Vans skate park.
Right.
Because there's rad photos of them afterwards or beforehand that like Ross Hoffman took and like posing on the ramps and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. On the 2nd, they played their makeup show in Copenhagen for the one they missed, which was, as we mentioned before, it was awesome because it was the debut of the new European stage.
Oh, gosh.
So instead of like screens, traditional screens, they have these 52 cubes that sort of hovered over the stage.
Oh, they're so cool.
And a lot of the artwork that was on those cubes was fan-submitted artwork.
Yeah. It's the production of it is so cool. If some of you have gone to those shows. But if you haven't seen the production, like just look up any show and especially Moth in the Flame when these fucking drones come out.
Well, it's amazing and also kind of scary. Like,
yeah,
drones just fly out, circle the band, and then of their own volition, programmed, just go right back where they came from.
Yeah, my friend Wes and I recently were hanging out and we were watching. He hadn't seen that yet. And I was showing it to him on YouTube and he's like, man, he goes, if one of those things malfunctions, he's like, that's a lawsuit. And
like hurts a fan or something.
Well, I think that's why they don't go over the crowd or anything. They're just kind of on the stage. Like, but those things fucking hurt. I mean, I've never been hit by one, but I can imagine.
Yeah, are you speaking from personal experience?
A drone hit me once, and I'll tell you what, it hurt.
Real bad. It cut my skin.
Could you just imagine Paw, like somehow he's been invited to a Metallica show?
Yeah.
He's already kind of skeptical of technology and shit, and he's sitting there.
That shit flies out.
And during Moth in the Flame, he sees these fucking drones come up.
Well, I was sitting there, and they were playing Ride the Lightning, and I was having a good time. And then they played Moth into Flame, and it's one of my favorite songs from Hardwired, but something real scary happened now. About 25 drones flew up into the sky.
Well, Papa, do you even know what a drone is?
Well, I had to read about it in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
I thought you heard about it in Reader's Digest.
My friend David told me it was in the Reader's Digest, and I was at the Piggly Wiggly last week in the checkout line, and I picked it up and learned about what a drone was.
That's great. great, man.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. But I don't like technology working on its own mind, see? Artificial intelligence and whatnot.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Our jobs, Haitian.
Drones. Well, I mean, there's talk of drones delivering groceries and stuff. And
there's talk of drones setting up a tow trucking company, which is what I do.
Well, God, that would be a bummer for you if a drone could tow your car home.
I'll have a drone wipe my ass is what I'll have a drone do. Save a tree, wipe Pawpaw's butt. Now tell it to the Reader's Digest.
You better tell them. September 10th. I am jumping ahead here, actually, aren't I?
That's okay.
I just got this. It was exciting. Become one of my favorite songs on the new record. They premiered Man Unkind in Paris, France.
Oh, yeah, cool. I've seen it. Yeah, there's a bit of a snafu. That the Rob's bass intro, him and James do it.
Right.
And I'm convinced the whole thing on the record is bass. Every part's a bass, even the high stuff.
You think so?
I do think it's all bass. It's because it sounds like, this is going to be nerdy, but the timbre of how the tone of the string being plucked sounds like it's fingers instead of a pick.
Yeah.
But James plays that melody.
Whatever. That's the point of the set where Kirk is changing vests.
He rocks the same vest for every show.
I know.
He commits to one Olive Garden vest per show.
I recently rewatched them doing Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And Kirk's in like white pants and a white vest and a black shirt. He's like full on
committed to
maitre
d'. Committed to the Scarface. No, it was like his Scarface shit.
It's very Scarface, you're right.
Or he was a chef. He was leaving a restaurant gig.
He's about to go pick up a shift at Spaghetti Factory.
So you're right. So that was in Paris, right? They did Mankind.
Yeah, Paris, yeah.
So the 4th through the 16th of September, they were basically in the Europe and the UK touring. On the 4th is James fell into the trap door during Now That We're Dead.
Yeah.
Really scary.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it hurt. It basically
briefly talked about this. Yeah.
Like hit his ribs. And he
I don't think he broke anything.
No. I think he probably was bruised. Because his guitar took most of the impact.
Yeah.
But he just, so these trap doors open where the goddamn Now That We're Dead, which now that James almost died, drums come up. I guess they opened early or something, or he missed his cue. And you can see it on YouTube. He falls right in. It's pretty scary. That was at the Ziggo Dome in Amsterdam. On the 7th of September, they sort of launched this Ernie Ball contest. You know what this is?
Oh, yeah. I remember this. Yeah.
It ran through Halloween, I think. And you just buy packs of Ernie Ball strings, you enter these codes, and you can win a whole day hanging out with Kirk and James at HQ.
At HQ.
Which would be fucking awesome.
Which means where we are right now.
Your podcast, HQ.
Yeah, that's what they were talking
studio.
About.
But you also, at the end of hanging out with them all day, which it was like a whole day where you get to ask some questions, pick their brain about shit, and then you get to pick out either a Hammett or a Hetfield custom signature LTD.
Which do you think I would pick?
Snakebite.
Of course.
Both rocking Snakebite.
Of course, yeah.
Although I would have been heavily tempted by the black Ouija Kirk guitar.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think I would lean towards a snake bite, though.
Black or white?
Black.
Yeah. I'd probably want to get a white one.
Yeah. That's fine. We don't...
For those of you... I mean, we've been talking about this for months, and we've been asked about it a lot. We do have gear episodes planned where we're going to dive headfirst into all the details on all the band's gear, their guitars, their amps, their fractal shit. Mm-hmm. Lars's drum kits through the years. We're going to do whole gear episodes.
Yeah.
So fear not.
It'll be, please fear not. It'll be quite extensive. So it'll be split up into, I think, quite a few episodes, maybe per member, per year, something. We'll figure it all out and let you know.
On the 29th of September is when they reissued the pink edition of Hardwired.
Yep. Yeah. 10 bands, one cause.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was to, I guess it was like a cancer awareness. It was for the Gilda Radner, it's called the Gilda Club.
Yeah, Gilda Radner from SNL.
She died of ovarian cancer, but it's basically a cancer awareness, which is why it's pink. And we have a copy of that we are giving away at our party this Thursday.
Yeah, we do. I picked it up yesterday.
We're basically doing a raffles. We're actually doing two raffles.
Doing two raffles. We got the Master of Puppets remaster vinyl and the pink limited edition.
So anyone
Hardwired.
Who comes is going to get a raffle ticket. We're going to basically give those two things away. It's going to be, we're expecting maybe 50 to 100 people. So it's going to be a pretty small pool. Chances of winning are pretty high.
Yeah. If you have a raffle ticket, you have 1 in 50 or 100 chance.
Well, I'm not so good at math now, but I reckon that Reader's Digest will break it down.
Well,
for
don't
you.
Worry. The drones will do math for you.
Exactly. I think that was it for September.
Yeah, let's go to October.
Ooh, what were they doing in October?
Oh, let me tell you, man. More UK touring.
Wow.
That's about it, man.
Do tell.
Just UK touring.
In October, it was the 13th is when they did Kirk's Horror Gallery, the It's Alive Gallery, yeah. Peabody Essex Museum. That was pretty cool. We have some listeners that actually went to that.
Yeah, that would be.
And I think even got to meet Kirk.
Yeah. He was just there hanging paintings and stuff.
Yeah, we did
guys,
a Kirk.
I'm not set up yet.
Kirk!
Don't come in.
On our Kirk Hammett Part 2 episode is when we talk a lot about his horror memorabilia, whole aspect of Kirk's stuff. Speaking of debuts, on October 24th,
The Big Daddy debut.
Probably one of the most anticipated debuts, not only of this record cycle, but probably their entire career. They debuted Spit Out the Bone in London at the O2 Arena.
If you think about it, though, I mean, it's only been about 7 years since iPhones came out.
Right.
Like, how nobody was, you know, talking about, like, the debut. Oh, my God, they did it. Like, word didn't spread like it can now.
Right.
So when they were doing, like, everything before Death Magnetic, let's say, you know, nobody was, like, buzzing, like, oh, my God, they debuted Frantic or whatever.
I'm still waiting for that Purified debut.
I know, man.
I can't even think of how Purify goes right now. Purify. Purify.
Purify. I'm already dead inside. Oh, no, wrong song.
That's a good song.
I know, that's a good song. I was trying to do a mashup.
You were mashing up Purify and Cyanide.
Cyanide, yeah.
Okay. On the 25th of October, Kirk launched the Ghoul Screamer coffee. Haven't had it.
I haven't had it either.
Do you drink coffee?
I drink decaf.
Oh, my God. Is that a vegan thing?
Well, I can't drink caffeinated things anymore because of my commitment to this non-suffering of animals.
Caffeine comes from bone marrow.
I don't eat bone marrow anymore. I'll count on being vegan, but I haven't had the Ghoul Screamer coffee yet.
If you want to know the boring truth, I stopped drinking coffee to help deal with anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. Huge help.
Really?
Oh, my God. The top two things to cut out when you're dealing with anxiety are alcohol and caffeine.
Do you have anxiety problems?
Not near what I used to. I used to have really bad issues.
Just general anxiety? Like not travel anxiety? Like just?
Oh, no, that was included too. Travel anxiety.
But not just that?
Not just that. No. I mean, it would be like out of the blue. Like, I think, you know, my life's over. This, you know, whatever. Irrational thoughts.
We're talking panic attacks?
Yeah.
On the reg?
Anxiety attacks, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it would be while I was touring. You know, even though I was on a tour bus or whatever, like just being far away. And I'll tell you all about it later. Not you all listening. You don't need to know all those
I'll
details.
I'll tell thousands of you about it later.
I'm going to do an episode just about anxiety. Actually, I was on my friend Ian White's podcast a while back, and we talked a lot about it. So if you want, there's a podcast out there. Here's what's funny. It was called Me Too.
That's hilarious.
And then the Me Too movement happened.
Right. Hashtag Me Too.
So I think he kind of stopped it for now and changed the name. But anyways, if you go on iTunes, whatever, you can either type in, I guess, Me Too podcast or Ian White. And there's an episode with me, and I talk a lot about anxiety stuff, and dealing with it. But all that to say, caffeine, if you're out there dealing with anxiety, and I'm being serious now, if you're dealing with that, stop drinking caffeine, cut out sugar, and it will make a world of difference, I promise. I did all sorts of things.
Check out Prozac, check out Zoloft, check out Ambien.
That was the big thing, is I didn't want to get on medication. Right. So I've never taken any of that stuff.
Really?
Ever, yeah. I either dealt with it or I dealt with it naturally.
Mm.
So never taken a Xanax in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you doing later?
I'm going to drink some caffeine and later, go man? Fucking crazy.
You get some Ghoul Screamer coffee and pop a Zanny? So that was pretty much October. November, and we're kind of winding it down here. Although November was pretty busy for them. They did shows in Belgium on the 1st and the 3rd. On the 9th, they played the Band Together Barry concert alongside G-Eazy, Rancid, Dave Matthews, and Dead & Company. We actually recorded an episode that night and watched it after the episode.
We started watching it. Yeah, the live broadcast mix wasn't great. So yeah. We didn't watch a ton of it, but my buddy Wes, who I mentioned earlier, who gave me the picks from this event, he said side stage Rancid and said they were great. And then he was kind of backstage helping out with stuff, working, because he was working for Dead & Company that day.
Okay.
And he said, like, at the place, like, Metallica sounded great, but like what we watched online, the mix wasn't good.
Yeah, and I think a lot of our listeners probably know this, but when you're watching YouTube or you're watching anything that's being broadcast even, you got to just sort of approximate for, it probably sounds better when you're in that room.
Yeah, of course. It always
does. I know a lot of people are really harsh about, like, this sounds like shit, and this is that, and that's, but, you know, the bullshit distilled filter thing that we're seeing, yeah, can't really replace what's happening when you're
of
there,
course,
feeling that kick drum in your chest.
The one thing I wish that old Fiddly would do, great, yeah, Fiddleman.
Fiddly? Fiddleman?
I almost said that's close to Fieldy from Korn. I wish old Fiddleman, though, when his team was mixing a lot of the stuff they release on like Metallica YouTube channel and on Metallica.com, is add more ambient mics into the mix.
Right.
And by that, if you guys don't know, what I mean is just mics that are capturing just the overall sound of the arena, the amphitheater, wherever they're playing. Like when you watch live shit, Binge and Purge, I mean, it's so much arena sound.
Yeah, you can hear the room and the crowd.
And it sounds, I love that in live recording. So I wish they would do that a little bit more, or even on these live broadcasts where they're, you know, you can watch it on Metallica.com.
Well, yeah.
I wish they would include more of that. So and a lot of times for bands, it kind of helps cover up little mistakes too.
Well, and I'm sure they have it. I mean, even at the level that I tour at, we have in-ear monitors. We don't use wedges. And so that we
what
can
does
just,
that mean?
A wedge is like a, it's like a,
like a potato?
It's a monitoring system made out of potatoes and
yum.
But we have these little in-ear monitors that are molded to our ears so that we can get clearer sound at lower volume, so we're not destroying our ears. Yeah. And in addition to miking the kick drum and my guitar amp and obviously all of our vocals, we put mics that face the crowd.
Yeah, crowd mics.
And everyone on stage, it's called mixing in the house mics.
Yeah.
And we have those mixed in so we can hear the crowd. You're picking up bits of the PA.
It gives you more of the feeling of not wearing inner monitors.
It feels, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get that ambience of the room, that natural sound that, back when I was still playing drums in my old band, at one point, I had our monitor engineer just set up one mic behind me and just facing up, like towards the ceiling. Because when I took my in-ears out, when I was sitting on the drum riser, everything around me just sounded cool. And so I had to mix that in just right behind me. So there was mostly drums, but I could just hear the backs of the open back right. guitar cabinets. Right. It was awesome.
I was kind of slow to the in-ear train because yeah. I love a loud deck. I love to feel the air push.
Yeah.
Dude, my amp's not even really near me now. Sometimes my amp's even off the deck.
Yeah.
Just to keep everything really clean.
That means stage, by the way.
And even to this day, I usually will take one of my ears out.
Yeah.
So I can hear the room.
It's not great for that ear.
It's not good. Yeah. I know. Where are we at on the timeline?
On the 10th, we had the old Master of Box Sets.
The Master of Box Sets.
The Master of Box Sets. The Master of Puppets Box Set was released and given away on our show.
And I had pre-ordered it to give away to our listeners, and I had it sitting in my studio for a month almost, and hard not to open it and lay on
it. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of me.
Yeah, you should be.
On the 12th, Lars's Beat Show commemorated, so they rolled out all this press for the Master of Puppets Deluxe box set.
This is the Beats episodes I really want to listen to.
Because this has the whole band talking about the record. Fleming Rasmussen showed up. Michael Wagner showed up. This is right before we got to interview him.
He's a good friend of ours.
one of my personal best friends now.
Oh, yeah. We go out for bratwurst all the time.
On the 27th of November is when they partnered with Starbucks to do those limited edition gift cards. Pretty cool. The proceeds go to the All Within My Hands Foundation.
Well, did you notice that or read about it actually with the proceeds at Starbucks and with Spotify are donating up to $1 million and it gets split between
them and Gaga.
Gaga's foundation and also Chance the Rapper's, I believe.
Okay, cool.
So it's split between three organizations, and Metallica's is one of them.
Nice.
So I think they have limited edition Starbucks gift cards for each artist.
Okay, cool.
My wife, thank God, works at Starbucks and brought me one home.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
Get some decaf coffee.
You put it in your butt?
Oh, it's in my butt right now.
That's why you're sitting a little awkwardly. Again, another cool thing the boys are doing with the All Within My Hands Foundation to give back and another reason to love that band.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, on the 28th, our boys were nominated for two Grammys, one for Best Rock Album for Hardwired, one for Atlas Rise's Best Rock Song. Our friend Ethan Luck here, your very own co-host of this show you're listening to at this exact moment, was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, that's correct.
Or a reggae record you play guitar on was nominated.
Yeah,
which
in the reggae category.
Which if they win it, if they win that Grammy, you'll win a Grammy.
I'll get a Grammy, and I'll put it right there next to that bottle of vodka.
Cool. And I'll cry into the bottle.
I'll let you borrow it.
You're like, oh my God, you want a Grammy? No, I'm just borrowing my friend Ethan's.
It was for a reggae record. Yeah, it's obviously it's much more exciting if you are the artist, but still, as a musician who has been touring for 20 years and playing guitar since 11 years old. And it's like a cool feeling to be a part of something that, and I don't really give a shit about Grammys, and like, I don't care. It's like somebody saying, yeah, that record, cool. You know what I mean? Like, there's records I love that have never been nominated. But when it happened, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Well, I think anyone who says they don't care about them, that seems disingenuous to me. I don't think they're, because you're right, like, I don't, way more records that have not won Grammys than have that are great.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, it's one, it can only go to one rock record, one metal record, one reggae record, one R&B record. But
speaking of that, I saw a recent interview with Dave Mustaine, and he was talking about how now there's only one metal category, and it's not even in the on air.
Right.
It's before the show. And so because of that, he joined the Nashville chapter of the Grammy Association to try to like make change happen and get more metal categories or get one back on the main show.
Good for him.
It's kind of cool.
They're like,
hello, Grammys.
I was about to say, they're like, thank you, Mr. Mustaine, for your submission to change the categories. We advise you to tell it to the Reader's Digest.
Oh, goodbye.
But no, dude, it's great. I mean, when you say like, it'd be better to be the artist or whatever, I think for most of our listeners who don't do what we do, that makes sense. But anyone who does what we do, is you're a side guy or you're a session player. We're just sort of like your blue collar behind the scenes musicians.
Yeah.
For anyone of us who do this job, getting that nod is a fucking huge deal.
Yeah. It's a big deal. For me personally, I'm not like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's cool.
I post something about it, but I'm not going to change my profile on Instagram and Twitter like Grammy nominated guitar player. Yeah. And that to me is where it gets like pretty cocky.
Right.
That's just not my personality. So if it wins, awesome. I'm stoked to be a part of it either way, but you know, it's an extra special feeling that, you know, it's cool to tell my dad basically. Like when I call my dad who taught me how to play guitar.
See, dad, I'm this
I can't, sorry, my throat is.
I have this many Grammys now, Dad. I can stay up as late as I want.
Well, actually, it's only one Grammy nomination.
That really messes up my throat. Jeez.
Yeah, doing the this many guy.
Yeah,
I'm this many.
For some reason, I can just jump right into that kid.
Well, that's good. I still have some development to do on that one.
I was going to say, speaking of side guys and sort of side guys getting recognized and shit. I just watched that Hired Gun documentary.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
It's really good.
Let me say this, I've been a side guy for 15, I'm gonna ride out my fucking days into the sunset as a side guy. I think, they got it right. Like, they got it right. That is what it's like when you watch a documentary.
Yeah.
B, it was pretty depressing, wasn't it?
It's pretty depressing. The only two things I would say that I didn't really care for in the documentary... is the first of all the jams?
I hated it.
It was just lame. Well, notice lame music.
Other than Kenny Aronoff, who is a fucking badass, the dudes doing the jams were like kind of the douchier dudes.
They're like shredders and stuff.
Like Steve Lukather is not doing the jam.
No, he's not doing the jam.
Steve Lukather, by the way, is like amazing guitar player. He played the Beat It solo. That's probably what you know him from. But
he played the Beat It guitar tracks
and the bass.
Eddie Van Halen played the Beat It solo.
That's right. He did the bass and the guitar tracks. But he played on Steely Dan records. And
yeah, exactly. And the other thing was just there were certain musicians in there that would like talk about like, yeah, it was like a real rough time. And it was, you know, it was almost this poor me kind of thing at certain points.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just got done playing with these five giant artists and you're not roughing it right now.
Right.
While they're being interviewed in like their multi-million-dollar studio.
Right.
It just kind of like the way that they, maybe it was just editing or something, but the way it kind of came across for a couple of those artists was like, you know, they were talking like they just started out.
Right.
But you just got done playing with fucking Prince or something. You right. know? Maybe Prince only paid him $25 a show. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Either way, that's a great documentary if you guys want
to
check it
out. Well, and pertinent to the show, Jason Newsted's in it and he talks.
Yeah.
He's not in it a lot, but he's at the top of it though. He's at the top, and then he comes again, like sort of halfway through, maybe a little later than that, talking about joining Metallica because he was actually a hired gun for the first 6 months of the band.
He said he wasn't officially
$500 a week.
$500 a week. He wasn't officially a member of the band for a year.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
And Rob didn't even play a show and got $1 million.
Well, they gave him $1 million.
He quit the band.
What does he want to get?
All right. On the 28th, this is actually pretty fascinating. On November 28th, Danish Prime Minister surprised the Indonesian President Joko
Widodo.
I think that's a typo. I don't think that's right. But Godo.
I think Joko Widodo is cool.
He gave him a Master Puppets Deluxe box set as a gift because that Indonesian president guy is a big metalhead.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he returned the favor by giving him like some sort of like war knife.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah.
What's literally metal?
It's literally made, partially made of metal.
Yeah, it's made from thrash metal.
Right.
It's a rare metal of the early 80s.
It's just
discovered
basically
in the Bay Area of San Francisco. The rare thrash metal, often also found in Southern California.
It's just a piece of Kill 'Em All vinyl shaped yeah. like a shiv.
Exactly.
If you look over here, you'll see an old copy of the Reader's Digest.
In it, you'll find the location of rare thrash metals.
All right, let's bring it on home to December. A few things have happened this month. The 5th through the 10th, our boy Jason Newsted's art was highlighted at the Art Miami Fair, which is pretty cool. There's, yeah. If you, on Instagram, I think his wife posted some stuff about it, and you know, he's kind of in the art world now.
Yeah. Taking some advice from Lars, and he's doing his own stuff. He says he's been painting for a long time. You know, he painted the chop house in between, you know, writing and stuff.
Right.
But that's cool, man. You know, as an artist, as a musician, you know, artist is a very general term. You know, that includes a musician, that includes painter, photographer, whatever. So it's cool to see our boy Jason, you know, exploring other avenues outside of music.
Yeah, I'm glad he's doing well. It's cool. I mean, I love that dude. Still love him.
Will you paint me like when you're French girls? No? You know that?
No.
From Titanic?
No.
It's like the famous line in Titanic. I haven't seen Titanic since it came out.
Is Leonardo DiCaprio's character a painter?
He's like painting Kate Winslet's character.
Remember that.
And he's like, what? She says something like, you know, will you paint me like when you're French girls?
And what does he say? And then what happens?
He was like, yeah, dude, totally. I don't remember. That's all I remember. I remember that. I remember like,
yeah, give me a sec.
Don't let me go, Jack. Or I'm, you know, king of the world. Boat sinks. Banky's playing at the end.
Okay.
That's sorry if I gave the ending away to anybody.
Dude, spoiler alert.
Titanic sunk.
On December 22nd, Lars read Julia Donaldson's Xmas Tale Stickman. And then lastly, on the 27th, just to bookend this episode with tour talk, Polestar says Worldwide Tour was the fifth highest selling tour of the year with 1.5 million tickets sold. And that is 2017 in a goddamn nutshell.
Yeah, about an hour and 15 minute nutshell.
And that's what we're going to do for every year. I mean, obviously, every year is not going to have that much information, but every right. year we're basically going to just give you a rundown of everything the band did that year.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to go through, obviously, every single tour date of the Master of Puppets tour, but no. significant moments, obviously, right. you know, things like that. And we thought it'd be, you know, this is initially Clint's idea. But yeah, we think it's going to be a fun way just to like break down every year. And it's a way also too, like, you know, let's say during the Red Lightning era, like stuff that, you know, we don't really talk about when we talk about the Red Lightning record. So it'll be fun. Just going to kind of go chronologically. We're hoping to put one of these out a month. And
right.
we're going to start back there in old 81.
Well, we're going to start back down in 1981.
That's how you have to say it.
Well, now we're looking at the Master of Puppets Tour, 1987. So,
one thing I did do is I put it out on Twitter and Instagram. What were some of our listeners' most notable moments of 2017 that yeah. have to do with the band, obviously? And so I wanted to take some time to read a few of these.
Sure, do it.
I've not pre-read these, so we may have to get the old edit machine out. Ian Koretzman says, how come we never got a look at Ethan's battle vest?
What are you talking about? You follow us on social media. We posted
this is what he says.
Wait,
I'm just telling you what he says.
What's his name, Ian?
I think he wants you to send him a picture of you wearing nothing but the battle vest.
Oh, he wants to see it like that. Okay.
Nick Makoviak, who's a friend of the show, patron of the show, and if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter, our handle is actually Metal Up Your Podcast artwork that he made
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, our profile picture, yeah.
He says, personally, seeing them live at MetLife for the band, their successful U.S. Stadium and European tours, the Master Puppets box set, and Grammy nominations. Those were his highlights.
Yeah, awesome.
Patrick Bolger says the Mexico City shows. He says he went to two of the three incredible shows and crowds. Amazing.
Lucky dude.
Joel Heppensberger says his highlight of 2017 was Metal Up Your Podcast starting.
What?
Well, thanks, Joel.
Either you're kissing our ass or...
I think he means it.
I think he means it, though, yeah. Thank you, buddy.
The Unbeliever writes, being at the O2 Arena London on October 24th for the live debut of Spit Out the Bone.
Yeah.
His first ever show.
His first ever show, he got Spit Out the Bone.
First ever show is part of history. Bacon and Nays podcast, which, what's his name? Chris Nays? He does this podcast called Bacon and Nays. Go check it out. These two dudes, I think they're in a metal band in the Midwest.
Yeah.
He says his highlight was James kicking the guitar in St. Louis. I loved it. I was there for that.
Yeah.
Front row of the Snake Pit, and it was a very memorable thing.
Oh, yeah. Of course it would be.
I talked about that on our my St. Louis recap. Frankster says, witnessed my first ever live concert, and it was Metallica. Got to hear my two favorite Metallica songs on the same evening, Blackened and The Day That Never Comes.
Mm.
The vibe of the crowd was awesome, and James scared the shit out of me by falling on stage. I guess he was at that show that James fell in the trapdoor.
Oh, crazy, yeah.
If you watch that video, you can hear the whole crowd gasp.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, well, they probably thought, you know, fucking flames are going to come out of there. Get out of there, James.
James, not again.
Not again, no.
Protect yourself.
Call Jim Marshall now.
Tom Dean says, I think, by the way, it's John Marshall, by the way.
John Marshall, Jim Marshall. You mean the guy that made Marshall Amplifiers?
The guy that made Marshall Amplifiers was the guitar tech for James.
I wonder if John Marshall like saw that news headline that James fell and just immediately checked his phone.
I'm about to say, immediately bought a flight to Paris.
Hey, guys, I'm on my way. He's fine, John. Don't worry about it.
Crap.
I'm running my layover.
Yeah, exactly. I'm running the way. I restrung all my guitars.
I just cleared customs.
Tom Dean says his most highlighted moment of 2017 was the European tour set list.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah.
He says the Hardwired songs did not feel out of place. There were covers at every show, and awesome deep cuts like Harvester, Leper Messiah, and Damage Inc. Or Damage Incorporated. Yeah. He wrote Damage Inc., et cetera. Sorry.
He's right. The set lists over there were, I mean, you and I would text after every show like, dude, they did this last night.
Yeah, especially the cover slot, Die My Darling and Bread Fan. And
yeah.
I mean, and then, of course, yeah, Harvester. That was...
Enter Sandman. Unforgiven.
Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah.
Super rare treat.
All these deep cuts.
Swerk H says his highlights were the TVI, the Iggy Pop thing in Mexico, and the box set. Roger, simply Roger, says, has to be the Master of Puppets box set. Can't wait for the Justice one. Ethan and I very much agree.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Cortez says, got to see the boys twice, Alamo Dome and the AT&T Stadium Tour. Was on the floor in Dallas, too, hoping they bring the arena tour here for the In the Round show, too. Cheers to you. Cheers to a great year, boys. Well, needless to say, Ethan and I are definitely planning on going to multiple shows if they do an arena tour. And we're going to be doing live tailgate episodes for
every
one of them.
I really hope it's an arena tour and they don't do stadiums again, because the stadium thing's cool, but I want to see that In the Round thing with those damn drones.
Oh, my God, the drones.
Oh, my gosh.
The drones, dude.
Bro, drones.
All right, now moving over to Instagram. This is before we wrap it up here. This is kind of a shorter episode anyway.
Yeah.
Instagram had a lot more inside Metal Up Your Podcast jokes, so I'm going to try to, let's see. J. Lou Chuckaroo. Says his or her favorite moment was tracking down the OG VHS footage of my first concert ever, which was Metallica, also Jason Newsted's final show. All set into motion because of this podcast. Also, the story gets way crazier. Check your email. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Do tell.
Oh, tell it to us.
Tell it to
tell it to the Clinton Ethan Digest.
Lou Webster says, I was in Nashville this past 2 days looking for HQ.
Okay, that's not creepy whatsoever.
Brad Blazik
wrote, I heard a weird tap on my window last night.
Brad Blazik wrote, it's in New Jersey, bro. That's pretty funny.
Nice, Brad.
918 J Dub says the World Wired in Dallas show. What a show. Real Vinyl Alex, which is our friend Alex Finney, patron of the show. He says, took my kids to see Black Sabbath and Metallica and Iron Maiden.
Jeez, dad of the year.
He says, that's pretty much those are the greatest metal bands ever. Totally agree. That's the top three for me. For me, it's Metallica, Sabbath, Maiden. How would you order that?
Metallica, Sabbath,
Rancid.
Maiden. Fucking Rancid, bro. The Casualties.
Data Remember.
Data Remember. Black Veil Brides.
Fucking Savage Garden's got to be up there
Black Veil Brides would be first, man.
How would you order that, though?
I would do Metallica, Sabbath, Iron Maiden.
Okay, so we're in agreement.
Yeah.
He says, it's pretty much the greatest metal bands ever. It might be a few years before his kids grasp the significance of seeing those bands within 12 months. He says, also interacting with Metal Up Your Podcast and Alpha Metallica has been very fun. And there's also the matter of a full year of Hardwired, which has songs worthy of the best they've ever done. I totally agree.
Man, yeah, 100%.
Totally agree. I think that Spit Out the Bone finally being performed live, that's Tony Alvarez. Reality Suite says the Free Internet Tomorrowland stage story. Now, I know that they broadcast from the Tomorrowland Festival. I don't know about a story.
I don't either.
So I'm sorry to our new friends in Reality Suite.
We apologize.
I can't confirm or deny what happened now at Tomorrowland.
That dude's going to be like, you know what? Fuck your show. You know what that story is? I'm not going to tell you. I'm boycotting your show.
Fuck you guys.
And I'm going to kick your patron donation or your pledge music donation off of our page.
Well, we did it.
We successfully recapped 2017.
You know what? Since it is sort of a shorter show, well, it's just off the cuff. Since it is 2017, it's a new year. It's New Year's Day. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
What are some of your favorite records, movies, podcasts? What are some of your, when you look back, other than obviously everything Metallica?
Yeah.
Our fans know by now that you and I have many diverse interests.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We listen to a lot of different kinds of music. And
well, some of my favorite records, I could say, last year. I actually just released my top 10 favorite records 2017 episode on
the Pirate Satellite.
On the Pirate Satellite, my other podcast. I'm picking that back up in 2018. One of my resolutions, by the way. But a few of my favorite records of this last year, Jason Isbell.
The Nashville Sound.
It's a great record. There's a song on there called If We Were Vampires, and it's one of the most heartbreaking songs you'll ever hear. And it's incredible. Okay. There's a guy named Rustin Kelly, who I've gotten into this year. He released an EP, and I just can't get enough of it. I think he has a cool voice. I think he's a good songwriter, has a good sense of melody. Band I worked with and am kind of friends with, but I thought they put out a fantastic record, Cold War Kids. They have a record called L.A. Divine, and it's awesome. They're in my opinion one of the more unique bands of the last 15 years.
Yeah, they're cool. Are they Nashville cats?
No, they're Long Beach, LA area.
Okay.
And I honestly can't think of another band that sounds like them. They're that unique in my opinion.
Come a little closer, can't you see? Come on. That was like a hit for them.
Was that one of their songs?
I think that's Cold War Kids.
They had a big song off their last record called. I think it's called Hurts. Like, first you get hurt, then you feel sorry.
Okay.
That's a good song. Their original big song was off their first record, is that song, Hang Me Out to Dry.
Okay.
You've probably heard that one.
Yeah.
But anyways, great band, great new record. And they're always...
What's their new record called?
L.A. Divine.
Okay.
They're always, you know, striving for cool, unique sounds in their records. You know, Nate, their singer, has got a fantastic voice. And they're just a cool band.
Nice.
I dig them, so... What's one of your favorite records this year?
Man, I love female artists. I don't know. I've always gravitated towards female artists. So my favorite records are Tori Amos's new record, Native Invader, is great. It's very strange and beautiful and creepy. Like, depending on what mood you're in, you can listen to it really in a lot of different moods.
Yeah.
And depending on what mood you're in, like if I'm not in a real esoteric mood, I'll just listen to the production and it's right. Just... beautiful. The musicianship's amazing. Matt Chamberlain on drums.
He's always a badass, yeah.
If I'm really honing in on her lyrics, they're surprising and take... It's if you're a Tori Amos fan, you know. She's kind of a far-out cat.
Yeah.
But an amazing artist. Huge, huge, huge Lana Del Rey fan. I love everything she does.
I need to check out her new record. A lot of my friends that did
it's called
top
Lust
10
for
list.
Life. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I love the cover of it. It's just like a cool portrait that someone took on vacation or something.
Well, she's smiling
color.
In it, and which is most of her other records, they're kind of that same. It's a picture of her, but she's looking real bummed.
Yeah.
This one was interesting because her music's real dark and a bummer. Her music is like heroin.
Mm.
It's real ambient and creepy and sexy. And,
yeah. But I need to get into her. I have a lot of friends that like her music. And
her second record, Ultra Violence, is just a masterpiece.
Really? Okay.
We spin that on vinyl at the Wells household often.
Nice.
There's a really great UK rock band called Wolf Alice.
I've heard of Wolf Alice.
Dude, they're fucking awesome. And it's a female, it's a rock band, but the main chick plays guitar and sings.
Yeah.
And it's their second record. They're super young. It's real like shoegazer. I don't even like shoegazer shit. But
I like a lot of shoegaze stuff.
It's shoegaze.
Like My Bloody Valentine kind of stuff?
It's kind of like, it's real swirly, ambient, dark. They're young. It's really fun.
Awesome.
I mean, like, they toured the States last year. I mean, this is kind of the level they're at. They played Mercy Lounge.
Awesome.
I mean, I was just right up front. And like, as a 34-year-old jaded professional musician, I don't do that a lot anymore. Yeah. But I was like up front with, actually, Brad Lyons went with me.
Oh, cool.
Brad Lyons and Brad Blazek, for those of you who don't know, they co-host this amazing Pearl Jam podcast called Single Podcast Theory.
Heard of it.
Lord's new record, Melodrama.
It's really good. You and I listened to that a bunch at your house one day before we recorded an episode.
It's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. And I was a huge, huge fan of her first record, Pure Heroine. And I mean,
she's the amount of talent in her for how young she is.
Yeah.
I met her briefly at a TV taping when I was with Kings of Leon and when she was promoting her last record. Mm. And ended up talking to her drummer because we had mutual friends and ended up chatting with her a little bit. She was very shy, kind of quiet, but right. very sweet.
And then when was this?
This was on her last record when she was in the middle of promoting that.
Okay.
So this was probably 3 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, about 3 years ago. It was the Jules Holland show. So if you look up like Kings Leon, Lord, Jules Holland, you'll find that episode.
Right.
But yeah, she was very nice, very sweet. And then when she played the couple songs she did, I was like, damn. I believe at the time she was still only 17.
Wow.
Yeah. So hell of a talent.
Well, I remember the first time I heard Royals before it blew up.
It's such a good song.
Because I hone in on lyrics. I'm kind of a lyrics guy. And I remember thinking like, man, this chick is weird. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was like a chick in her 30s. I was like,
yeah.
These lyrics are so fucking dark and far out. And then when I heard she was like 16, 17, I was like, oh, I get it. That's why the lyrics are so weird.
Yeah.
She like doesn't know. It's almost like she doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them so far out.
That song, Royals, I remember first hearing on the radio and thinking like, God, this is so catchy and good and different sounding. And anytime my wife and I were running errands and just had the radio on, you know, Lightning 100 or something in Nashville, anytime that came on, I would never change it.
Dude, it's fucking awesome. And it's not even anywhere near the best song on her first record.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about that record.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess the last one that pops out is like the latest Ryan Adams record. It's called Prisoner.
Okay.
And it's just... I've kind of mellowed out on him.
I got off the ride a long time ago.
I don't listen much anymore, but this record is really cool. And despite me getting off the ride, it's got some special shit on
sure,
it. Yeah. So I think that speaks to how powerful it is.
That's cool.
Any movies or any podcasts or...
Star Wars!
Did you like it? It's not getting great reviews.
I feel like it's pretty 50-50.
Okay.
I have friends that loved it. I have friends that absolutely hated it.
Because you're a big Star Wars fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've watched Star Wars since I was a kid. I went opening night for, you know, the last two, Rogue One and Force Awakens, but I thought The Last Jedi was good. The one complaint that a lot of people I know were throwing out there, like, oh, there's too many jokes in it.
Okay. Yeah,
too many jokes. And I was like, what Star Wars movie doesn't have jokes besides maybe Rogue One? Like, if you're a Star Wars person, first of all, episode 1, 2, and 3 are fucking garbage. That's a fact. That's the sane anger of the Star Wars series.
For sure.
But go back and watch Return of the Jedi. And like any scene with the Ewoks, there's jokes galore.
They're funny,
So like to me, it was just kind of like, that's a very invalid excuse to not like this movie. There's jokes in it. And I thought some of them were good. I thought the movie was fun. It was cool. Like the whole story with Luke. I mean, I don't want to give anything away if you haven't seen it yet, but like it was, I thought it was fantastic. I thought there was some great stuff in it. You know, maybe 1 or 2, 3 minutes here that I was like, man, that was okay. But overall, I was like, it's still way better than the crap that George Lucas put out on episode 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
That's still terrible, terrible film.
Is that franchise is just so cherished by so many people.
Yeah. But with the original movies, when you watch when you were young.
I think that was the first sneeze on our entire show, by the way.
Oh, congrats.
Thanks, man.
Dude.
I feel sad that it's come and gone already.
I can't wait for the best of 2018 to be a sneeze compilation of just that one sneeze.
The shortest compilation ever is just one thing.
No, I'm just going to loop it for 5 minutes. I don't know. Overall, I think, you know, if you're somebody now that's getting pissed about a Star Wars movie, you're not near in the same frame of mind you were when you were like 10 years old watching Empire Strikes Back.
Right. You've kind of grown up and gotten curmudgeon-y about it.
And because you hold those so close to your heart from being a kid and growing up with them, you know, the new ones have to be perfect, you know, so J.J. Abrams, don't fuck it up. And it's like...
Did J.J. Abrams do it?
You know, he did, I think he was the executive producer on this, but he directed and wrote Force Awakens.
Okay.
He did a fantastic job.
He's great.
He's awesome. I think I'm pretty sure he's doing the next one, the final one. Don't quote me on that. But,
okay.
Overall, I thought it was awesome. I had a great time seeing it. Me and two friends went and watched it out at Opry Mills. And like a noon showing, there was no one in the theater. It was awesome.
We're going to Opry Mills tonight to see 3 Billboards.
Nice.
Which is the Francis McDermott.
You know me have to pay to see Billboards? Sorry.
That was good.
Thanks.
That was a good fake faux laugh.
That was if you follow Clint on his personal Instagram, that's when Clint used to do the banana phone on Instagram stories.
I do this thing where everyone on my bus will, it's not even a drinking thing. Like everyone on my bus will go to bed and I'll have insomnia and can't sleep. So it's just me sitting in the front of my bus and I do this bit.
He pretends to talk on a banana phone to Barack Obama.
Barack Obama calls me a lot on the bus.
And Clint calls him Barry.
I do them in my bunk sometimes too. And
But your neighbor up above you loves you.
Well, they know what it is, so they'll immediately look at Instagram to see.
That's see awesome.
Because it's an Instagram story.
Yeah.
I watched Dunkirk last night, which is Christopher Nolan's new film.
I've heard that's good.
Pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
We saw The Disaster Artist. That was pretty fun.
Here's the thing with me with movies and theaters. I am not exaggerating this. I maybe at most go to the movies 3 times a year. And it's only if like a big movie, like a Star Wars comes out.
Because you want to see that in the theater.
Of course I do. Yeah. Or like when like the, you know, the Harry Potter's would come out in the theater. Those are really fun to see on a big screen.
Yeah.
You know, or like when, you know, Creed came out, you know, last installment of the Rocky.
My Own Prison.
I created.
I had that first Creed record.
Good for you, man.
Torn. Remember that song, Torn?
Nope. I remember this like the couple like hits they had, you know.
Eddie Trunk came out today and said his favorite record of 2017 was an Alter Bridge record.
Really? I mean, that dude Miles Kennedy can sing his ass off.
And that March Romani guy, he can play.
He can play guitar. Yeah.
It always seemed like butt rock to me.
It's kind of butt rocky.
Any podcasts that you like from this year?
I can't really say that I got into any new ones this year. I kind of skimmed through some stuff. I mean, I'm still an avid listener of like Nerdist and Mark Maron's and Joe Rogan's. But what I usually do, I'm not like someone that listens to every episode they release. I usually like wait a couple weeks and then I'll kind of skim through who he's had.
Yeah.
Like recently, actually I'll tell you one thing I watched this fall that I obsessed over was The Punisher.
A show?
On Netflix. Yeah. With John Bernthal.
Okay.
He played Shane on The Walking Dead. I've been a big fan of all the stuff that Netflix has released for Marvel. I think it's awesome. Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and stuff. But John Bernthal was on the Nerdist podcast recently, and it's just like really good interview. Him talking about his upbringing and acting, and how he was kind of like a troubled kid in the DC area, getting in fights and stealing shit, and kind of got his life together through acting. Mm. And he actually went to like a Russian school of acting and like got his ass kicked. Like, it's just a really cool story. So, and I listened to that podcast like the day after I finished the last episode of Punisher.
Cool.
And he's just a fantastic actor. So that was a really fun show to watch this year. Mm. It only came out like 2 months ago or something, but I watched it pretty quick.
I got to say, I was pretty heavy on the new Twin Peaks.
You're going to hate me for this. I've never seen that or the original.
Well, I don't hate you for it, but you should check it out.
I know I should. I should.
Twin Peaks was David Lynch, who's my favorite director. And it was a big show
it's
in the
George
90s.
George Lynch's brother, right?
Exactly.
From the Lynch Mob.
And wasn't George Lynch in, what else was he in? He was in like some other metal band.
I can't remember right now.
Anyway, David Lynch, he's famous for Eraserhead and Mulholland Drive and Elephant Man. Anyway, he had a show in the 90s. It got canceled because the ratings were low, but it was critically acclaimed. Twin Peaks, canceled after the second season.
Filmed in Washington, or takes place there too.
So this was the highly anticipated third season. 20 years later.
Yeah.
25 years later. And almost everybody from the original cast came back.
Amazing. That's great.
And it was some of the most challenging television I've ever seen. It's 18 episodes. It was on Showtime. It's cerebral and dark and intelligent and creepy. And it was just challenging.
I didn't get into it.
Like, I like to watch stuff that you don't have to think much about. Like, I do all that too. I read those books. And like, I'm reading a book about Jeffrey Dahmer right now. It's just
stuff you don't have to think about.
Well, it's just mindless serial killer. It's like juicy and fun, and right. It's almost pulpy, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if I'm reading like a Stephen Hawking, if I'm reading like fucking, you know,
Dianetics.
I don't read a lot of L. Ron Hubbard, but anyway, Twin Peaks was challenging. It was like what good art should be. You know, kind of like Radiohead record or Tori Amos record. Or a Metallica record.
Or a Savage Garden record.
And I want to stand. I'm going to be putting all my best of shit on my Instagram. Maybe we'll cross do it with some of our stuff.
I put up my top 10 records on my Instagram already.
Okay, cool.
Just did it the other night, just as I released that podcast episode of The Pirate Satellite. So, and if you want to go listen to that, just go to iTunes, type in The Pirate Satellite, or just type in my name, you'll find it.
And you can hear the very genesis of the Metal Up Your Podcast. There's an interview that Ethan did with me on The Pirate Satellite. I will say, speaking of podcasts, here's some podcasts you guys have to fucking check out that I listen to every week. Number one is called Waking Up. It's by Sam Harris. He's a philosopher and a neuroscientist. He writes about religion, politics, morality, artificial intelligence. He always has. He has the smartest people in the world on his show. People who do and don't agree with him. He has pro-Trump people on his show. It's some of the most important conversations you'll hear. Check that out. If you're a KISS fan, you got to listen to Podcast Rock City.
Yeah.
I listen to those dudes every fucking week. And as a KISS fan, I love it. They're everything I love about people that feels like me, extensions of me and my friends, which is a compliment we get on our show a lot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Talking about KISS. Three, you got to, for the same reason, go check out Single Podcast Theory with our friends, the Brads. And I think that might be it for me. There's a podcast of some dudes who like our show called The Hustle Season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I went and checked it out, and it's really good. It's awesome. These dudes in Virginia. I think they're in a couple of bands. They're cool. In a couple of hip-hop bands. And they have a podcast just about culture.
Awesome.
So it's about movies and art and music. They seem pretty intelligent, and they're funny.
What's the podcast you're going to be on in the near future? The horror and ice cream one?
So, there's a, I think, I don't know what it's called. What is it called?
I don't remember.
Horror and ice cream? Whores and ice cream.
Whores. The premise is that they watch and review a horror movie while eating ice cream.
It's called...
get there.
Oh, it's called Scary Movie Ice Cream Night.
That's right, Scary Movie Ice Cream Night.
So I'm a huge horror movie fan. Yeah. So and this dude Cole Roberts actually lives in Nashville. So he's gonna have me on, and we're emailing currently about what we're gonna talk awesome. About. But it'll be fun.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. You're probably gonna do like a Scary Movie 3.
Scary Movie 5. Yeah. Scary Movie 10.
Yeah. I know what you did last summer.
I know what Dave Mustaine did this summer.
Yes, me too. Read the Reader's Digest. Well, folks, there you go. There's
2017. There we go. 2017
is done. We as of right now, as you're listening to this and ending this episode, we are starting a brand new year of Metal Up Your Podcast. We hope you had a good holiday season, had a good New Year's. You kept it safe. And again, if you're in the area or want to drive down to Nashville this Thursday, the 4th, at the Cobra on Gallatin Road, we'll be having our 1-year anniversary party. Come party with us. I've got a 6.5-hour Metallica playlist ready to go.
I've got a 6.5 pack under my shirt. Waiting to
the 6.5 bag. There's one little half one, little
half ab trying to happen. No, it's gonna be fun, and we're not even gonna do all the begging you to go leave things. We just want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you for a great first year.
Thanks to everyone for listening and getting on the ride with us, for all the emails you've sent us, for all the nice, the kind words and the encouragement. It's gonna be fun, man. We got a lot more to come.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. We couldn't have done it without you, and thanks to all the patrons, everyone who writes in all the time. We love you guys, and we can't wait to get you more content this year.
And with that, we'll say peace.
Adios.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.